All right. Okay. Here we are. Here we go. It's time for one of these. I'm here at GDC. I'm sitting next to a refrigerator that makes loud wind tunnel-y sounds from time to time. It's off right now, but don't get complacent. It doesn't stay off forever. I may have described this scenario before, but when one goes to a fancy expensive hotel that costs nigh on $400 a night, not that I am paying for that, not that I ever would, but I am in one. They have a refrigerator there, but you cannot use it. You cannot use it because it is full of items that if you touch them, you are charged $35. And I don't know, a giant alarm yells at you. That doesn't happen, but it feels like it to me. So if you want a refrigerator to fill with food from Trader Joe's like a normal human would buy and then eat that throughout the week, you have to request it specially. You get a second refrigerator. And that's what I'm sitting next to right now. I just came back from a party to celebrate Feminist Frequency, which is sadly shutting down. I took a prom picture with Frank because he did an exhibit there. I probably could have gotten some audio from him with him, but I forgot I was doing this. So that's the kind of service you can expect from this episode. The last time I was at that venue, the Foreign Cinema, it is called, I believe it was at one time a cinema. But that is merely a belief. I've never looked into it because in the 20-something years I've been aware of it, it was not one. It was just some sort of a venue space. But last time I was there, it was the Halo 3 beta launch event where I got a shirt that later a man threatened to take from me because he wanted it until I reminded him that he was twice my size and it wouldn't fit him. And then he left me alone. So I'm at GDC. I'm shilling my game. I'm trying to get money. I always say it's going to be a weird one, but I think it's going to be a weird one here. And cross your fingers, as I shall cross mine, that this is the final episode of this type with more poor quality audio. I am hopeful that the next one you hear from me, there's going to be big boy, baby boy, very nice field audio equipment that I will purchase. But I need to get the money first. I got to shill my game to press. People got to buy Demon School. I'm working on Demon School right now in my hotel room. I got to get money for my next game. So go into the past when I was recording this episode, because you're hearing it after GDC is over, and cross your fingers, please, that I get some money over here. That's what we need. Goodbye to you for a certain length of time.
I am here in Yerba Buena Park with Megan Farukmanesh of Wired. And I feel like the theme of the year is survival. I want to figure out how to get beyond survival. And so I wanted to ask you about things that you are doing to try to be a human being, have a good time in your life, reclaim your personhood as your email is filled with spam and various things. So I noticed that you've been like traveling a bit and doing things like that. Is that one of the things?
Yeah, here's the thing. I, a couple months ago, decided to throw my stuff in storage and sort of go do like a really lame pray love kind of situation while still working my job. So it wasn't like I totally got to abandon my life. But I wanted to know how other people lived. I wanted perspective that was not just about my life and my focus in New York City. And I wanted to know what made people happy, how they made their lives work. And so I spent a lot of time talking to strangers and being like, what makes you happy? Are you happy?
Oh, wow. I didn't know you actually. This is very appropriate as a question then. Excellent.
Yeah, I think strangers will actually tell you quite a lot of information, especially if you explain you're going through a tough time and you're trying to figure it out. And what do you think about this? I mean, people give me all kinds of different answers, right? So some people, they're like, happiness for me is security. It's people in my life. It's my art. There really was no general consensus, which honestly was kind of reassuring because I was like, there's no way to do this wrong because I had this feeling that I was living my life wrong and I was supposed to be happier than I was. But turns out I think a lot of people are just a little bit unhappy.
Yeah.
So honestly, for me, talking to strangers and just connecting with people made me feel a lot better about the state of things because I think people open up to you if you try. I talked to people who told me stories about, oh, you know, fucking off to Japan. Sorry for swearing. I don't know.
It's okay.
You know, leaving for Japan for a couple of years and just trying that, or how they got lost and found their way back through like their family or whatever. I think that I spent a lot of time in nature. So sorry to say that helps a lot. It sucks that the things people tell you that will make you feel better, like exercising or going outside, do make you feel better.
No, it's okay. I mean, people probably need to hear it.
I know, but I always hate it when they're right. I'm like, I do feel better and I hate that. I spent a lot of time just kind of going to parks. I went to Joshua Tree. I sat in forests and mountains and, you know, saw rivers and oceans and the desert and the beach. And that, I think it put a lot of my own life into perspective and made me step outside of the internet. Unfortunately, the place I live and work, and think more about my place in all this and what I want my life to be.
How do you make yourself have time to do it? Because you probably have to, you have to push yourself to move away from the internet and move away from work to go do something like that for yourself. How do you make that happen?
I mean, there's a cost, right? You have to pay a cost. For me, it was leaving behind the community of friends I had in New York. And I mean, I isolated myself essentially. It wasn't too bad because I was meeting new people and I was staying with friends. But I mean, I'm lucky. I had a job that I could work remotely. But yeah, I had to give up the life I was currently living. And again, I don't have kids. I have someone to be watching my cat. So that's not a cost I think everyone can pay, which is tough. That's not good advice.
Well, but it's still interesting to hear what people are doing. And you talk to strangers. How did that come to pass? How did you approach them? How did you wind up interacting with them? Because talking to strangers is sometimes one of the scariest things you can do, or like anxiety inducing things you can do. How did you approach that?
I think being curious about people is kind of the starting point. And don't get me wrong, I wasn't just wandering up to someone and storming like, are you happy? Like,
sure.
That's insane. But I think just I'd be sitting at a coffee shop and, you know, there was someone sitting next to me. I was like, hey, you dress really cool. Do you know any good thrift shops around here? And then kind of started talking about that. And then I started asking questions that way. I was in a bookstore and I was buying a book and the seller commented on the book and we kind of started chatting. And I was like, oh, I love the store. I haven't been here. I'm actually just in town visiting. And oftentimes I'd be like, you live here. I'm just in town for a little bit. What do you think? Where do you like to go? What do you do in your free time? So I think that people, I mean, they'd kind of be taken back. I don't think they're used to strangers talking to them. But people are not actually that scary because
yeah.
I think that everyone wants to be understood and everyone wants to connect. So I think if you just come at it in a place from curiosity and being friendly, it actually gets you pretty far.
And something I've learned from doing interviews long ago is that people really do enjoy talking about themselves. And I don't mean that in a rude way. I mean, people like to share the little things that they know or the things that they like. And if you can tap into that, if you can find a vector for that, like you've got cool clothes, what are some cool thrift stores around? People love to share that knowledge with you. If somebody asks me things about Oakland, I'm like, I don't really know anything. And they're like, but where should I eat? I was suggested to go here. And I'm like, oh no, well, don't go there. You should go over here. And then there's this place and that place. Like once you tap into it, people are ready to talk, I think. So what was an interesting thing that you learned about somebody, if you can remember?
You know, I was talking to a couple. I had honestly gone through a breakup. That was part of why I took off. I was having a hard time with it. And I wanted to know how they thought you could make a relationship work, what their best advice was. And it was really nice to hear them kind of take a second and talk about each other, because you talk to your partner all the time. They live together. And so they're just constantly interacting one-on-one. But you so rarely get to hear your person talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I think it was this nice moment where I got to watch them open up and discuss like, my life is, you know, one of them was like, my life is better with this person in it. And I choose her every day. And you're all the ways we connect and how I respect her and I look at her. And I think that was really nice. I don't know. That's a good answer to your question. I think.
No, it is, because I totally understand what you're saying, where people can know that they appreciate each other, but also simultaneously take each other for granted. And then when they then have to describe it to a third party, you get to actually hear that stuff. And it helps when it's vocalized, not just implied, which I have a difficult time doing. So it totally makes sense. Well, I think that's nice. I think we got some good stuff here. I think not everyone can go on a tour, but people can talk to others. I had a conversation with somebody coming home on a train in New York late one night, and she was like coming from a cleaning job at 2 a.m. And for whatever reason, I felt like talking to her, and she started telling me about her daughter and the various troubles, all the things that were going on in her life. And I was like, this is legitimately very interesting to me. And also, I feel like this lady is very happy to have someone listen to all of her things that are going on in her life. And it, you know, people are more interesting than I personally give them credit for, I feel. I don't know if you feel that way.
I'm a journalist, so I have to think that, right? Because I talk to strangers all the time. And I think, and this is very cliche, but I think there's more that connects people than doesn't. No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. I'm going to try to do this some more. I'm going to try to talk to some more people about this sort of thing. You want to say bye forever?
Bye forever. I'll never see you again.
I'm here with Osama Darius of Brass Lion Entertainment. Tell all the places you used to work.
Do you want them in chronological order?
Yes, please.
Yes. So I started at Gameloft. We worked on mobile games.
Yeah.
Then I worked at a company called DTI that changed names to Genie Media, right, where we made in-flight entertainment, which is not flight simulators. It's actually the games you play on the airplane.
Yeah.
After that, I went to Ubisoft and I worked on a game called For Honor, which was a combat game. Did really well. It's still going. There are still people making content for it.
Awesome.
Very happy with it because I like combat games. Afterwards, I went to a small indie studio called Minority Media, worked on a couple of small indie VR type games. Then I went to Warner Brothers, where I worked on two games. I worked on Gotham Knights primarily, but also early on, I did a year on Hogwarts Legacy before things went public, let's just say.
Yeah.
I didn't leave because things went public. I joined and left before it. So, it's not related. Then after that, I went to Unity for 9 months. So technically not a design role. Lovely people I worked with as a senior partner relations manager. It's kind of like I meet people, shake their hands, make sure they're happy with the product type thing. But then I worked on Blizzard for a year.
Yeah.
On the unannounced survival game, which sadly is not a thing anymore. The game was canceled and all my friends on the project were laid off. I dodged a bullet by a couple of months. That's when I jumped to Brass and I've been there for 6 months.
I've noticed this about you, that you've had a kind of a very rapid paced career lately. And so what I've been asking everybody is, what do you do to reclaim your humanity while things are difficult? How do you enjoy yourself? How do you occupy your own body, etc.?
So that's an excellent question. The most important thing, in my opinion, and it's going to sound cliche until I explain it, is balance. And what I mean by that is, as creatives, we need to have a certain level of investment in what we're making. But by a certain level, I mean not too much and not too little.
Yeah.
The problem is we sometimes associate our self-worth with the quality of the product that we're working on, or something along those lines, and that's just as dangerous. If we go way, way, way too high, then if the game doesn't work out, or if anyone wants to put in something that you don't agree with and they overrule you, it really takes a toll.
Yeah.
And the other way around, if you absolutely have no level of attachment to the creative work you're working on, then it doesn't scratch that creative itch that creatives have. So my solution is balance. I fall in love with the project I work on, all of them to a degree.
Yeah.
And I give myself a sense of detachment when I start knowing when it's too much. And I always have my own personal projects that are non-commercial. I make them on my own. Usually don't release them. Nobody else sees them. Oh, wow. But I make them exactly how I want.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
And you do a lot of hugging of people. How much of that do you think is for you and how much of it is for them? Because it feels like 50-50 to me.
To be honest, and I'm sorry, this might sound a little bit weird. Some people it's for me and other people it's for them. Like, a lot of the times, I have my friends that I go to. I share the long hugs with.
Yeah.
That's therapeutic, and it heals me, and it's really, really good. And then I have a lot of interactions with people I don't know, where I make myself available for if they need it on their side. It doesn't mean I don't get anything out of it either, but that's not the intention.
Do you recommend hugging?
Absolutely. There's a lot of science to prove that hugging is, there's no replacement for it. And you know, this is the interesting thing is a lot of the chemicals that are released into your body that are positive and help you and heal you that come from hugging start to kick in at 6 or 8 seconds.
Oh, wow.
So we're not talking about the tap, tap, shoulder, move away hug. There's nothing wrong with that. It helps. But we also, you know, those are intimate hugs you share with your loved ones or your platonic friends. Those are medicine. Those are healing.
Yeah. And I just want to point out that someone came up to hug him as we were talking right now. Do you want to say hello?
Hi, how are you?
Okay, I think that's a good note on which to end. Do you want to say bye forever?
Bye forever? Why? No, bye for now.
Okay. All right. Since you came to give Osama a hug, I feel like now I want to ask you this question as the church bell tolls behind us. Please introduce yourself, first of all.
Absolutely. My name is Amani Shams. I'm really lucky to be here. I know that, you know, hugging Osama was the prompt, but just really happy to be a part of it.
So I've been asking everybody what you are doing to try to feel good, try to feel like a person during these difficult times. I know that you are currently unemployed. So how are you doing this for yourself right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is a really interesting time, one, in the industry and in the world itself. Yeah. So a fair balance outside of like losing your sanity is really just trying to ground myself and understanding like when one door closes, another will open. It's just, a mean of time in which, you know, maybe I needed this for myself to like really come together, reassess my value, reassess what I am interested in and what I want to put out there and what I want to receive. So a lot of the things that I personally have been doing outside of looking for a job or really analyzing what job is next on the list for me. I invested in getting into a course at MIT for AI as I want to understand kind of the business and how that's shifting and really just trying to put more educational knowledge in my back pocket as I take my new step forward into this industry.
How are you working on the grounding yourself and working through those? What is myself? What is my self-worth? What do I have to offer a job? What does a job have to offer me? How do you work through that? Are you just sitting in silence or are you walking in the woods? What are you doing?
Oh, well, it's a combination of a few things, to be honest. I'm big on writing. And so I do write about the accomplishments I've achieved in the time I've been in the industry, the kind of quick and I would say successful learning path I've had being in the industry because I initially came from a academic background. And then also really trying to understand like what more can I give than what I've accomplished? So like what more am I willing to do? How far can I go? And what kind of new ideas or new perspective am I going to bring to a space that will really enhance my contribution and its business success?
Yeah, the writing thing is interesting. I have like a running document of like what I call it is weird things I've done in the industry because those are the most interesting to me. And I think it's worth occasionally going back and looking and being like, oh yeah, I did work on that. That was kind of cool. So not exactly self congratulatory situation, but like self-acknowledgement or something like that?
Absolutely. And I think also, you know, keeping up with some folks in the industry across different companies. And as we talk about things they're working on and things that I've worked on, I personally start giving like outside perspective. And that in itself, I think, is productive in a way to really measure my engagement and my interest in the space to continue to, you know, contribute even from an outsider perspective or not an employee, I should say. So that's also kind of just giving me, I would say, fuel to keep going, reignite the flame gaming brought to my life and being a part of the industry. And it's not just like being the consumer and also being on the business side, but both of those worlds colliding in this space is really where the magic starts for me.
Yeah, I think for me, talking to people about their ideas and the things they're excited about can get me excited again when I'm feeling run down and like I have no more ideas.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. And you know, the industry is definitely taking a shift and things are moving in a different pace and a different direction. And as it should, I think we are going to see a lot of change and hopefully it's like, I guess, received in the right ways so that we as a community, whether in working in the industry or gamers themselves, are more receptive to the change and really kind of being a part of the change than being resistant.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. You want to say bye forever?
Yeah, no, but not bye forever, but I will definitely see you guys later.
Okay.
Forever.
Okay, we have Pavel from Pixel Ant Games, and you live in Zagreb, yeah?
I live in Zagreb, Croatia. That's correct. Yeah.
So you were talking about imposter syndrome to me earlier and how you feel like you're going to look around and people are going to realize that everyone else is more experienced and has better contacts than you, et cetera. What do you do to ground yourself, be yourself, have a good time in your hometown? What do you do?
So the usual answer, I would guess, is that you will crawl into your bed with your favorite book. Mm. But I think the immediate kind of relaxation comes from certain type of games that has, I call it immediate flow. And one of them is Luminis by Q Entertainment. And it is my kind of a love and hate relationship with this game, because once I start playing it, I play it for 2 hours.
I see.
And I had to uninstall the game from my Switch. But I knew that after a full day of meetings at GDC, I will have to kind of steal some time for myself. Yeah. So I locked myself in my hotel room, fire up the Switch, I downloaded the game, and I'm playing every single night for an hour or 2 hours. Luminis. I love that game.
That's great. I have something that's not exactly the same, but sort of similar. And I almost considered bringing my 3DS because I like to play PictoChat.
Oh, okay.
And because it just kind of like makes me stop thinking about anything else. And because I am focusing on the little dots and Absolutely. The numbers, and I play music that I like, and I lay on the bed and I play PictoChat, and then my dog comes and sits on my leg. So it's just like a whole, okay, we're all relaxing. Everybody's relaxing.
That's a heaven, cousin.
Yeah.
Vampire Survivors is another game that I highly, highly recommend, but this is a game that I uninstalled and I can't go back.
That's right. Okay. Well, thank you very much. That was a good one. It was a quick one. You want to say bye forever?
Bye forever.
We're here with JJ. JJ from Midboss, who is, oh my God, look at that corgi chasing those birds. Oh, he stopped doing it, but he really was like, you got to get there. It's a happy corgi. Anyway, he's rolling. I'm sorry, viewers at home, listeners at home, you can't see this corgi having the time of their life. Rolling around and chasing birds in the park.
Probably spring corgi.
Yeah. But anyway, JJ, you just announced the date for Neurodiver. It's going to come out.
It has to.
Has to come out.
It has to come out now.
But what we're going to talk about is what you do to relax and be a person. I know you do some things, so tell me about them.
So there are two big things. One of them is biking. I like to bike. Not like hardcore biking up anything or down anything, but just like biking around the neighborhood, around Berkeley, and coffee shops. Like, even if I'm working, like a coffee shop is enough for me to just sit there and enjoy the surroundings, being around people that are not associated with me whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enough for me to feel calm and good and focused and nice. And then the other thing is mostly just playing around with emulators. Like, I like messing with PC 88 and 98 games and just chilling out with those, or opening up a Sega Genesis game like Star Heroes. And that's really it. Like something about playing especially old games on the PC 98 and the 88 and just enjoying the art in it and stuff also kind of gives me like a boost of inspiration and just like encouragement. Look at this enthusiastic thing that somebody made, like this whole team made, maybe like a team of five or something. I want to do that. I want to have that inspiration there. And then occasionally watching like a J-drama or something.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Those PC 98, 88 games, especially to me, they feel like they kind of have to put you in a slightly different mode of thinking because they are a little slower paced. Sometimes, like this, because just by necessity, their refresh rate for most games, like Rusty is maybe an exception, but for a lot of the games, the frame rate was low. They couldn't do a lot of hard action. They figured it out later, but a lot of it wound up being like these slower paced Japanese style adventure games and things like that. So it kind of puts your brain in a different mode.
Kind of. So, like, there's The ones that I really like going through are the compile disk station.
Oh, yeah. Well, those are all action.
Yeah, those are, well, they're action and some adventure, too. But, like, there's that and there's Ultrabox on the PC.
PC
Engine. And, like, they're all little bite-sized games.
Yeah.
And some of them are bite-sized adventure games, like Lady Bono. What was the other one? There's Run, Run, Apple Run.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really good. And then like certain other games, like the 100 yen games for the PC 88 and like Exciting Milk, which was unfinished by the people that made Jewel Hunter Lime.
Right.
They're games that are like, there's not much game to them essentially, but they are so cool looking.
Yeah.
That it's like,
be a neat idea.
They might be a neat idea. And there's also like pushing the hardware in a way that is like different than what you would expect. Like yeah. Exciting Milk is just, I'm playing an anime on a PC 98. What the hell?
Yeah.
But it's great. And it does kind of put you in a different mindset where it's like, I'm not playing this for work. I am. But also at the same time, it's like, it's encouraging to look at. And it makes me feel like, well, the thing that I'm making is also kind of similar to this. And that's cool. And it makes me feel normal again. Like, oh, I'm making this cool thing.
Yeah.
Just like these people did.
Excellent. Okay. Well, we have one more person who I just met. Hello. Introduce yourself, please.
I'm Antonio Uribe. People know me as Spire, and I'm a game developer from Mexico.
So what do you do to relax yourself and try to be a human being?
I've been thinking a lot in the previous discussion about this, and I have a 2-year-old kid. So maybe working is my space to feel like a person. Yeah. But I used to bike and walk a lot, but now I don't have the space. I moved to a city that it's difficult to do that. So I listen to podcasts, sometimes this one, I think.
Okay.
And I wash dishes and it makes me, I have a nice garden at home and I can look through the window to that while I wash dishes and listen to podcasts. And I hated washing dishes when I was younger.
Yeah.
My mom forced me to do it and I'm kind of tall. So I bend my body enough that it feels bad in my knees and back. But now I enjoy it for some weird reason. And I don't know, doing something physical and my mind is thinking something else. It's good. Maybe it's like meditation. I don't know.
No, I totally get it.
I was about to say the thing that's nice about that, and this is another thing that kind of makes you feel human. While working on a game for so long, sometimes it's nice just doing house chores because it's like, I completed this in 2 hours. Isn't that awesome? And then there's like, I don't know, there's a weird satisfaction to that.
Yeah.
Physical stuff after just clicking things and watching digital things is good. It's good.
No, I totally agree. I also do those kinds of like, okay, I'm going to organize my room while listening to records. And then I can just focus on this one task and finish it. And I used to get this feeling when I ran a magazine, every month something came out and you could look at it and you could hold it. And it was like, oh, this is what I spent my time doing. And when you're working on a game for like 5 years, it's like, what have I been doing with my time? How could it be that I'm still working on it and it's not finished? How is that possible? But also I was telling my partner that I think the reason why I like watching cooking shows, even though I'm not that interested in food, is because I like watching people finish something completely. Like they start it and they finish it and it's done. And I'm like, yes, good. Good for you.
We need more hobbies, I think. We need different hobbies. That's how you get into gardening and I don't know, like making furniture or something.
Yeah. What's in your garden?
A lot of different plants. I live in a part of Mexico in the Yucatan Peninsula. So it's like, it's a lot of green. There's a lot of iguanas there. Also a couple possums that visit my garden. So sometimes I see a lot of weird creatures and things. So it's always a random window of opportunity to see things and a lot of feral cats that eat the other animals. So it keeps me interested in the things that I'm seeing. There's a lot of, I don't know much about plants. I started to understand them and pick them apart. It's a lot of green. My partner knows more, definitely.
Excellent. Well, tell the iguanas I said hello. And then you want to say to the podcast, bye forever in Spanish.
Adios para siempre.
We have Ash Paris. It's Ash Paris here.
Hey, I'm back.
She's back. And we're going to ask you the same question of how, what do you do to relax or be a person or feel like yourself while all this stuff is going on in the world?
Man, for GDC specifically, I make sure I travel with my Xbox and I...
You brought your Xbox?
I did, yeah.
Wow.
It's very heavy and it's hard to carry, but yeah. And the things that I've been doing is, you know, I go back to my hotel room at the end of the night and I take a gummy because THC is legal here and that's great.
It sure is.
And
you can get it delivered to your house.
That's awesome. And what I've been doing is like, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but I'm really into Super Metroid and like Metroid Zero Mission and Metroid Fusion ROM hacks.
Okay.
And I've just been watching.
You're talking about you bring your original Xbox?
No. Like okay. my Xbox Series. And I'm you know, I play games and I also watch like YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I'm watching all these Let's Plays of like these Super Metroid ROM hacks and it is very peaceful and it just like centers me, I guess, which is very weird to say. And I don't know what it is about Metroid ROM hacks specifically. Like I only played Super Metroid for the first time like a couple months ago and found out, yeah, that's an incredible game. I understand why people like it so much. And ROM hacks where there's like challenge maps, where it's like a map randomizer and like item randomizers and things like that. And then that refocuses and like zeros me out and I'm ready to like go back and, you know, do all this crazy GDC stuff for another day.
That's kind of fun. I've actually in my hotel room been watching some random person reviewing all 110 shooting games for the PC Engine TurboGrafx.
Of course. As
I do. And so I can kind of understand the grounding centering of something familiar and just hearing someone else talk about it and be like, well, I don't know. I feel that way or whatever. But how about when you're in the home?
When I'm in the home, it's kind of the same. Like it's the same ritual, honestly. Like you have a little bit of THC, you know, either smoked or ingested and like turn on a Let's Play and like, okay, this is the end of my day. This is the great washing of all of the day away to restart it for the next one.
And how do you, force may not be the right word. It's right for me. I'll just say it. How do you force yourself to end your day, to stop working and start doing something else that's not working?
I'm pretty sure most people can relate. I'm pretty sure you can relate. Like the ADHD brain just does not allow you to do that. And then you look up, it's midnight and you haven't eaten since like 4 o'clock in the morning. And that's really hard to do. And I think, and this is going to sound really, I don't know, lame, but it works for me. Like my husband goes, he's neurotypical. He goes to bed and that's like, okay, it's your turn. Like we don't sleep in the same bed at all, or not at all during the week because we have such different schedules because he works earlier than I do, but both home. So when he goes to bed, that's kind of like my signal. Like, all right, you can't stay up for 9 more hours. You have to go to bed yourself. So, you know, it's time to wash your face, take your weed gummy, you know, maybe get a snack if you want, you know, find the right Metroid Let's Play that you want to watch. And that's how having someone else help you regulate is very helpful.
Yeah. You know who does that for me is my little buddy, Pocket, the dog.
Pocket with an O, not a U.
Pocket with an O. Although one time somebody at the park thought his name was Bucket.
Aww.
And sometimes we call him Bucket and he can't tell the difference. But Pocket has such a, part of his anxiety as a dog is just like, what's going on? I need to know what's happening. What are we doing? What is the job? And when like all the things that have been set up for him, when all those times come around, he's just like sitting next to me, staring into my eyes like, buddy, it's 9 o'clock. I go out and pee at 9 o'clock. It's like, all right, that's okay. It's 9 o'clock. Let's go do that. And then I'll work for a little longer. And then he'll come over and he'll be like, it is now 10 o'clock. This is when we sit on the couch and watch a movie. So you need to stop doing that. You need to, because I'm trying to get on this couch, but you're not here. He thinks we can link telepathically and he's right. So,
hearing you say that, it reminds me very much of my dog, Ayn. And he was that regulation for me. And I didn't realize how much
he made sure, you know, when I woke up in the morning that I, you know, ate breakfast at the right time, and I got up at the right time, and I sat down to work at the right time, because so much of like my morning and evening routines were centered around making sure that, you know, yeah. I was taken care of. And I didn't realize how much of that was to him until I didn't have him anymore. So, yeah.
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 Dogs are the best. So that's the conclusion of that story.
best.
Matthew Kumar, you're also here.
Hello.
How about you? Same question.
What was the question? Dogs?
Come on.
frame the question again.
How do you relax or feel like yourself or be a human being while things are difficult?
See, because it's interesting, that question, because I feel like there's two parts to it and they're not necessarily the same thing.
Okay.
Like, because relaxation often for me is just complete disassociation from my existence as a human, which unfortunately often involves me just like playing Marvel Snap for an hour, which I do not feel good about. But it's like one of the easiest things to do. You touch the iPad, cards go there, but numbers go up, and then you just forget anything.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's different from the grounding yourself in your body as Matthew Kumar. How do you do that?
Well, that's kind of boring as well, I think, because like the only way I grounds for your body is to use it, right? So like I do long runs, like, you know, I try to run like 5Ks further, like at least every couple of days. And I took up last year, I took up weightlifting. Not that many like great shakes either of these things, but like just like being existing in your body and actually doing something with it is one of the best ways to like get yourself out of whatever's going on. It's like why they say like to go for long walks when you're like stuck in a problem, because just the act of moving, being in different experiences, just changes your where you are mentally. And like, it's honestly, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, it's totally true. As much as I hate exercising, it does keep me alive and make me aware of my body. So yeah, maybe that's what other people should do if they can manage it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not everyone is like able to move the body in
right.
certain ways, you know, like, but I think the value is finding what your ability to do something like that is and making the most of it, right? Like, is everyone has the ability to do something like that enriches their life, you know? This is very like fucking like infomercial shit here right now. Do you know what I mean?
It's okay. Most of these have been kind of like that. There have only been two people that mentioned video games. One of them was you, Ash, and the other one was Pavel from Croatia, and he like plays Lumines every day for like 2 hours.
That's like disassociation as well.
But he was talking about like flow state, not disassociation. So it's more like your THC weed gummy, I think, because he's like getting into it, but he has to remind himself to stop. So there is some, it's in between.
It's sort of in between, but I also feel like flow state, you forget you exist in a flow state, right? Like, so if I was like,
well, it depends. Like those Zen monks that I watch in the Hong Kong fighting movies, they get even closer to themselves the further away they get.
Do they?
Right?
It's like, wait, when.
But
like,
that's a movie.
Like, if I'm meditating, which I do sometimes, like, sort of like a blankness, right? Rather than, you know, like, it's an awareness of a blankness or something like that. So it's kind of like you're aware of everything, but you're not like thinking about it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In a weird sort of way. So, like, and that's kind of like a flow state is sort of like as well, where it's like you're aware of what's happening, but you're almost like separated from it and very zen about it, I find. So that doesn't feel to me like being aware of my existence in the world as much as it is like, I don't know, just being a floating eye in the sky.
Where do you land on that?
The flow states are weird for me because I think the only way I really experience them is when I'm writing and when I'm in, like, I can't explain it any other way than brain is on fire and the words are coming out of me. And then I wake up, you know, half an hour later and there's like 3,000 words on a page.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not disassociation to me, because you very much can't disassociate when you're writing, because then everything you type out is gobbledygook. So it's a great feeling, I can tell you that. I love when that happens, and I try to make that happen as much as possible.
Interesting. Well, we got some conflicting views. So I don't know if either of you have ever had this, but sometimes I get ideas in dreams or while I'm about to fall asleep, and then I write them down. And then I feel like I've cheated because I got that idea for free, because it feels like I didn't come up with it, because it just arrived. I know I did. Objectively, I know I did, but it's like I didn't have to work for it. It just arrived. I wasn't trying to think of something, and then it just was there. It's like, oh man, can I get away with this?
Yeah. It's a life hack.
Okay.
So if you want to finish a second, I can tell you one of the things I wrote down when I woke up.
Yeah.
Stand on edge of building for questions. Taxi, will Bill Clinton get beef?
And there you have it. Bye forever.
Bion is playing Sim Tunes. Here's what it sounds like. He's been working on this for 35 minutes. It rules. This is it, Frank Cifaldi's booth, by the way. Sim Tunes being a game created by Tosu Iwai with Maxis in 1996. Bion's been playing for a long time, and he's figured it out. Maybe this is what relaxes him.
Bion from Q Games, you were just playing Toshio Iwai's Sim Tunes. What did you think when you first started it from when you actually got to make some songs?
It was simply fun. It was a little bit hard to understand. Like of course, it's not that hard to make a noise, but how do I make a groove when to make it the groove? And the sequence is very straight and tied to the note. So I was trying to where I can find the gap in between the notes, which is, we call it kind of groove. And finally, I found it. And the one tip that I got myself is if you wanted to make something very musical in a way, is that to set the four tracks with all same instruments.
Four tracks with same instrument?
Yeah. That makes it like a kind of Famicom vibe. It's a Famicom, just three, but like a four. So if you choose that, the different types of instrument for every single channel, that makes it more like a kind of, old school 90s types of MIDI music. So if you wanted to out all that, just to choose the exact same instrument for every single channel, that makes it more tight and to group, and it's really interesting. Yeah,
and it seemed like when you really started to figure it out is when you, so in this game there are little bugs walking around the screen and they go over notes and things, but when you figured out how to contain them and keep them moving back and forth, that was kind of the key, right?
Yeah. I feel if I wanted to compose very specific songs that I might mind, it takes some ages. So just going to try to run this explorer.
Yeah.
That means it's not the controllable. So I will say to myself, the rule is that to make all the groups short enough possible and make it more like a and then just to set the all same instrument and then you find that change the speed and make him find the gap in between and make it the groove.
Yeah.
I think that's the most, not easiest, I mean, just a fun way to make it make a song on it.
Yeah. Right. And a question I've been asking everybody, what do you do to relax and feel like Bion at the end of the day?
Feel like Bion, even if it's not my real name, you mean?
Yes. Feel like yourself.
Oh, good question. I've been thinking about that sometimes and it's still not answered. I say, even though I still don't know how do I identify myself that I'm Bion every single day, my body is replaced maybe every 7 years and just all right. Say all the regrets and I still can talk to you. You're Brendan.
Yeah.
You never changed, but your body's changed. And
right.
Still we can see each other and say, hey, what's up? But it's been a while. I guess it's amazing thing. It's a beautiful thing, you know?
Yeah. So the mind and the memory remain the same. So how do you keep your mind calm or in a place where we can recognize each other even though our cells change?
Yeah. One of my favorite books written by Shigesato Itoi, who made a mother.
Yeah.
It's in Japanese though, but it's in English. It's going to probably like that. If you remember, it became the memory. If you don't remember the moment, it's just disappear. So you have to remember at some point sometimes about the past. And then if you still can keep me remember it, it became the memory. So yeah, I don't know, like to keep myself. Oh no, it's a calm, not myself. I didn't. So how do I keep calm in the basic, you mean?
Yeah, but that was also
good. It's illegal.
Because weed is not legal in Japan.
Oh, yeah, of course. But maybe just sleep.
Yeah, getting good sleep.
Yeah, even when I'm asleep, now I'm thinking something. It's like, and I wake up there like at 3 or 4 a.m. and then just my brain won't stop to try to get some ideas. Because I need some inspiration. It's all the time and I can't run out of inspiration because I don't want to be like a thirsty that to create something and stuff. And so I still need constant inspiration. But still, like a sleep is amazing, isn't it? It's just,
yes,
it's a peace forever. You might need a time to forget about yourself. That's how you do it. Is that the sleep, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So keep track of yourself by forgetting about yourself for a while.
Yes. Called like you need a space. You need a space to avoid yourself, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a mental box. It's a fully all the lies and lies and a fully entering. You don't have any space to put that new extra emotion. So you have to replace and just throw the weight on something. And if you sleep, maybe you get to something. Make more space and put the more new memories in it.
Yeah.
And new, and have to find your new yourself.
Inside the bento box of the brain.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Want to say bye forever?
Bye, thank you.
Well, that's it for GDC. Game Developers Conference is over. I didn't really talk about the show at all, but I think that's okay. I was just in press meetings and making sure that my events went all right. But it's just not that interesting to talk to, I think, in light of what was the larger common theme. I felt like everyone was asking how everyone else was doing, just kind of checking in as the game industry goes through some weird changes right now. And so I decided to focus on that, and I hope you enjoyed it. I met some insert credit listeners. Hello to all of you, including Corey from the forums, who gave me a bonk pin. That was nice. I know that most of you listening aren't in the game industry necessarily. Some of you are, most of you aren't. But I feel like it's kind of a difficult time for everyone. I thought it might be helpful to hear how other people, a variety of people, are dealing with things. And it was kind of neat that everyone seemed to have a different thing that they do to ground themselves. That was kind of interesting. Hopefully you all had a chance to think about this for yourselves, what you would do, what you can do, and don't forget to take care of each other as well. Join the forum. They're very nice. Like and subscribe. LOL. That's all I got. Talk to y'all later. Bye forever.
Insert Credit Show is a production of Insert Credit. This episode featured reporting from Brandon Sheffield and appearances by Megan Farukmanesh, Osama Dorius, Amani Shentz, Pavel Rodeler, JJ Signal, Antonio Uribe, Ash Parrish, Matthew Kumar, and Bayon. edited by me, Esper Quinn, with original music by Kurt Feldman. Thanks for listening.